Hello, everybody, and welcome to Too Tall for Stormtroopers. I'm Brendan.
And my name is Sam.
I'm a second-hand dealer who tries to specialise in retro games and things from the 80s. I love comic books, Star Wars, arcade machines.
And I'm a chef who likes to play games and do podcasts in my spare time.
And this is Too Tall for Stormtroopers, our podcast about what's going on in our lives through the week, all the nerdy good stuff, the things we come across, and all the things we love.
We get carried away talking about this sometimes, so we thought, well, we might as well share it.
Yeah, here it is. Thanks for listening.
So, this week.
What do we know? So, did you see that Game of Thrones trailer this
morning? Yep. Morning? So, I just watched it.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
What do you think? I think we need to say before we go on, this is not a spoilers-free zone. So, expect spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Spoil the living shit out of this. Apologies. Yeah. I just don't think there's any point.
Yeah, well,
get your head around what to say and what not to.
The books are... been there for so long, and if you're really a big fan of the series, you would have read them by now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think, and... Okay, so... Spoilers. Because what I was about to say, I think that they're deviating enough now...
Yeah.
...that saying such and such did happen in the book, it doesn't really mean anything, does it? Because they're doing what they want. I just watched it.
Yeah.
Just so we could do the podcast, and it looks to me like... And I can't remember because Feast was sort of a bitch to me.
I've recently read it. I'll be able to tell you.
All right. Yeah. So it looks to me, years gone by since I read that book, that Varys is more interventionist, more choosing what he wants.
Because he didn't appear between the end of Storm of Swords until the end of A Dance of Dragons, where he murders Kevin Lannister.
Forgotten about that, but yeah.
Yeah.
And he's never speaking to Tyrion about...
No. He
going
put,
across the sea and...
He put Tyrion on the ship and sent him to Magister Illyrio.
Yep.
And that was the last we heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really... And that spoiler really gives the... Our purpose is to put Daenerys on the throne.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, well, he does meet up with Griff and young Griff on the way, though, so... Tyrion, I don't think his intention ever was to go to Daenerys, was it?
But when you're reading, Dance,
yeah,
it's really blunt that this is where this is going
to
go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
almost to the point where it's that blunt that you think
that
George Martin might, you know, pull the Swiftie and say, oh.
John.
In fact, I'm going to kill him right here, you know?
Jon Snow, the Schrodinger's cat of Westeros.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's trolling us on that one. I really do.
Yeah, I need to put it down, and I don't know if it might break me if he's dead.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he did such good in Dance with Dragons for the Night's Watch and the North, and then for what?
I think for me also, there's the technical aspect of it, and then removes like the best POV from that part of the story.
Yeah.
So, do I really want to hear what Melisandre has to say about what's going on? No.
Well...
Do I give two shits about the old
think she's.
No.
I think she's an interesting character, though. That
she is,
chapter was one of my
like
favourites.
POV. I can't remember. Was she written
she
as
was
she was.
One,
yeah.
One chapter in Dance.
Yeah, I don't... It's not something that I really want to... I don't want to get into her head and see what's going on there.
I find her an interesting character, so I kind of...
I agree with you, but to the point of I think the interesting part about her is the unknown.
Yeah.
So if you start walking around behind her eyeballs,
yep.
I think that's going to remove the mystery, and then she's just going to be a pain in the ass.
You know,
that we want to be rid of.
You know who I would like to pick up the narrative at the Night's Watch? Ed. Dolores Ed?
Yeah.
The character amuses me just because he's such a glum bastard all the time.
Well, you know who I want to pick up? The main POV for the Night's Watch, Benjen.
Oh, yeah.
That would be...
Yeah.
You know, somehow Benjen emerges, and now we're on.
Such a mystery. I don't think we're going to miss any Jon's story, though. I think Melisandre will put a glamour on him, and like she did for Mance.
I'm afraid that that what's going to happen is he walks into Ghost, and off we go.
Yeah.
And then perhaps later transfers back into something, well, you know...
It's not what
it's a human body.
Not what I want to see happen to John.
I don't want it either, but I worry that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's the most popular theory for him anyway.
It probably is.
But I think I think we're kind of getting away from where we were with that. Just because last night I made a comment on Facebook that Jon Snow was the Schrodinger's cat of Westeros.
Mm.
I think. Well, I like that comment. So.
Yeah, well, he's both alive. He's both alive and, yeah. and dead at any one time, yeah. based on your perception. Yeah.
We got there from Martin trolling us.
Yeah,
trying to get back to the trailer with Tyrion and everything. I mean, I've seen pictures from filming of Tyrion meeting with Daenerys in the pit.
Yeah, that's been leaked for some time.
Yeah, yeah, that clear shot of what I assume is going to be Drogon's flight and her with him.
Which is awesome. That's probably the greatest part in that book.
Yeah, you're right. I think we might not see her in the sixth season. We might pick up again seeing Daenerys. Like, Bran's taking a break this year. Mm. I think that we might not see Daenerys again till the start of the seventh season. They really do play it off that she's dead.
You think that they'll play it up that she's not dead? Because in the last bit of dance, she's in the...
Yeah, yeah.
In the Calisar, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. She's making her way back to Meereen. She runs into a Calisar on the way, which right. Martin has stated the Dothraki, and I quote, are coming back in a big bad way. So I would quite look forward to that because they respect strength, and what's stronger than a dragon?
Oh, yeah, and I think maybe we sort of turn the corner and come around to this idea that the character will have a brutal aspect to it.
Yeah.
And she comes, when someone rides in on a dragon, you know, death will follow.
Yeah.
That there'll be carnage, that more than sheep will be burnt up.
Yeah, true.
I think that's sort of where that's been developing.
Yeah. Maybe
perception of her as a force of nature as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're saying you have to go east before you go west. I kind of hope we see Ashai a little bit with Daenerys, the prophecy.
What's
the character called?
I don't really think that the prophecies are just a red herring.
Yeah, could be.
I don't think the way that he rides...
Well, it could be her perception that's wrong with the prophecy as well.
I genuinely don't think that when Martin writes, when he puts a prophecy into his novels,
yeah,
that he thinks that that's something that needs to be adhered to.
Oh, yeah.
Or something that's even part of the fabric of how that universe works.
Yeah.
It could very well be, this is just shit people say.
Mm-hmm.
This is the religion. I don't think he... I don't.
Words
I,
of wind.
Yeah, but like I don't think that he's bound to even fulfill that, or there's any real purpose in fulfilling that.
Oh yeah,
because we keep getting shown there's a little bit of truth to this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where maybe this legend came from, but it's not really a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he will stick to it.
Yeah. Because we see that.
I just find Ashai to be an interesting place I'd like to know a bit more about.
Yeah,
like, the illustrations in The World of Ice and Fire.
I haven't got to. I'm still early on, but
they're seriously awesome.
Yeah, I got that book for Christmas, but I got it with Plague of Frogs Volume 1. So there's a little bit of competition on the on the nightstand at the moment. They're both great. I guess because you come back to, we know that the Children of the Forest are real.
Yep.
We know that now Bran can see through the weirwoods.
Yep.
I'm using the right word. Yeah.
I think that will partly be to do with how he learns. I think Bran will learn who John's parents are before John does.
Yeah.
And I suspect that it said.
Does
that,
Bran even give a shit?
Well,
it could just be a throwaway to Bran at some point and we get to learn it that way. But
could be, yeah. I mean, if John's dead, then that answers the question.
And I don't think to those children. Like, it's never really touched on, but I don't think to the Stark children his parentage is in any doubt.
That it's Ned.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
That information might not even mean anything to Bran. I think you got to consider the perspective with that, because we're just so focused in on getting that question answered that we sort of create this expectation that information is going to be delivered to us in this sort of easy way.
Well, it could be nothing. I mean, either way, he's a bastard, unless somebody legitimizes him, which has been offered.
You can legitimize yourself by using a sword, can't you?
King or queen has to legitimize you.
You're right. You're right into town with the biggest army. Somebody, be it a priest or something, that will come up with something.
I think it has to be a royal decree, though, like Ramsay Bolton. Oh, Ramsay Snow.
was legitimised by his father, not by the king.
By Tommen.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I apologise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think it's mentioned in one of Reek's chapters that there's a notice with a childish scroll of Tommen on there. But
what else did we see in the trailer? So we've seen Tyrion, we've seen Daenerys.
We saw Grey Worm and Missandei getting it on. Which,
how does that work?
Exactly.
I mean, it's probably a good deal for her, but what's he gonna do?
Yeah, yeah.
But on another side,
actually, I saw him last night. I've been rewatching Skins, and I'm like, who's that guy? Well, there's Grey Worm.
Which version of Skins?
Fifth and sixth series.
The UK.
Yeah.
My wife loved that shit, like the US.
The US one wasn't too bad, but because Skins is kind of, I suppose, a bit racy, they're always fucking each other and taking drugs and all that kind of stuff and just acting like dickhead teenagers.
What little I saw in it's probably an 80s or early 90s thing, but there was a movie called Kids.
All right.
Something about it really reminded me of that. And Kids the kids are all not all right. And it's a pretty filthy drug-taking sex-fueled adventure.
13 was another one like that.
Was it? A
couple of young girls just discovering sex and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Being at odds with their parents. But,
so Grey Worm.
I saw Grey Worm on the telly.
What is the definition? Because he's a eunuch.
Yeah.
Is he without parts?
It's implied by one of the masters that they chop off the balls and the cock.
Yeah, right.
So
I'm on the right page with that.
Yeah,
we've seen that.
He shouldn't really have sex drive at all, which is implied in the books as well. Yeah,
my dog Darby there, he's had the cut and he come around my place this afternoon. Same with his girlfriend anyway. Bloody hell! And we saw young Cersei. As well, didn't we?
Yeah, cutting a finger about to see Maggie the Frog.
There's a flashback to a spell, and
I expect you know how there's always a sequence before the titles in the first episode. I suspect that's when they're going to pop in that little sequence, like Tywin and melting down ice, seeing it reworked into Oathkeeper and whatever Joffrey called his one.
It was something stupid, wasn't it?
Well, his track record's pretty shit, like Lion's Tooth and Heart Eater. And
I think it was Heart Eater or something like that.
Think it was. I think it was Widow's Wail, that was it.
Yes.
Yeah. Good old Jeffrey.
Yeah, but Cersei, she's a dull character to me. I'm not interested.
I liked getting in her head a bit, seeing how she's gone sort of mental towards the end of Feast.
I don't think that it's really a mystery.
I found her point of view a bit more interesting than, there wasn't much choice in that book. Either way, Brienne I found completely dull.
I was more okay with her.
Yeah, I enjoyed that book more the third time around than the first couple. I felt like skipping Brienne in some parts, though, but
And I've only read it once.
Yeah.
But I think the way I read it, I frustrated the process because I have this idea where these characters either need to go or are going to go.
Yeah. Brienne,
and I feel like there's delaying going on.
Yeah. Brienne's one who I can't see where the hell that's going. And same with Arya, sort of, but
she might fall off a damn cliff. Right?
Yeah, well, I kind of suspect Arya is going to end up with Daenerys as well, either sent there to kill her or something along those lines, but end up, befriending her.
I fear, with all the speculation and all the theorising about it,
is that
I think we sort of need to accept there's not going to be a Hamlet-style ending to Game of Thrones. There's not going to be one big culmination where he just bangs it all out in a few scenes and there's a resolution. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're probably going to lose a few more characters.
I think so too. Yeah. There's two more books to come, and the body count from last couple is, I mean, we've got arguably the five most major characters all in big cliffhangers. Oh, except for Tyrion, really. But, four of the five really big major characters are in cliffhangers in Mortal Peril.
Yeah.
You got Cersei about to go to trial. Jaime's gone to see Lady Stoneheart.
Did we have the trial?
Part of it. She needs a... The trial for battle is coming up. She's been convicted of sleeping around, pretty much, and screwing her brother.
But she had the naked walk up the main street of...
Yeah, that was atonement, to show the gods that she was sorry for what she's done, but the trial's yet to come, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the big news this week is, of course, that there will be no next book.
Yeah. That's... I think I'd rather take more time on it and give us a better book.
I'm ready to put it down.
Yeah.
I'll watch the show again, and then I'll decide to forget about Game of Thrones for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spoil the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to just get too attached to how I think. And I think I was doing that with the last book, where I got too attached to where I think everything should be, what should happen,
yeah.
and becoming patient that it's not there yet, and I'm not enjoying the, you know,
yeah.
the process. So.
I think there's a few too many point of view characters at the moment. This is the point where they're going to have to sort of start crossing over again.
I think that's your indicator that some throats are going to get cut.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, Brienne... Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm okay with her coming back around.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
If
they put her back into Jamie's point of view, I can deal with it. But I thought that whole journey was kind of pointless. Her point of view, you don't even need to hear it. You just need to hear she's been away and she rocks back up in Jamie's point of view at the end of Dance with Dragons.
Mm.
At his single chapter in that book. But, yeah... Arya's got to be going somewhere, though, don't you
Well,
think?
That she's about poised to start moving again.
Yeah.
I think she's had been over in Braavos. It's Braavos?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
she's been through that training period and she's been in the cat. And
yeah, yeah. The scene where she's knocking on the door in the trailer, the House of Black and White, I'm kind of hoping for some mystery casting there with the kindly man.
Mm.
I'd really like to see Stephen Fry in that role because I think he'd play that role really well.
Yeah.
But we probably have heard if Stephen Fry was going to be in Game of Thrones by this stage.
It would have been rumoured, yeah. you think.
Or somebody, because he's sort of a major character in Arya's point of view, you'd think they'd get a sort of well-known person to play him.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's my hope anyway.
Yeah.
What else is there in the trailer you noticed?
I think that sort of rounds it up. I think there's a little bit of trickery in what was put next to what
yeah.
in the sequence.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember thinking those two things don't go near each other.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to, there might be just a little bit of fun and
yeah.
games with the public there.
I did see,
we saw the giant, whatever you call it.
Oh, the harpy.
Yeah. Harpy
yeah.
came down.
I thought the harpy had already come down, but they just draped it in a Targaryen banner, which I think it's just the books mixing me up there, because I'm so
well,
used
we
to
haven't
it already
hit,
have happened in
yeah.
the books.
So because we haven't hit that ongoing, it's almost like a war of assassins, isn't it? With
yeah.
her and as she rules in Meereen.
Yeah.
And with
the Sons of
the
Harpy. Yeah.
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 And that's like a quiet war.
I think
it was quite tense, actually. I really enjoyed that
yeah.
bit more than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, because, I mean, her and John really cover quite a lot of business over these two books, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, over that one book, but if you'd split that narrative back to where it should be in Feast, I think that might have played out even just slightly better, just because it's such a long sort of really cements them as major characters there.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot going on at the wall with action and stuff like that. I sort of roll my eyes a bit because this is where, you know, they choose their new...
Where did we leave Mance at the end of the last season?
Mance? He's captured by Stannis. And we've got Tormund on the wrong side of the wall as well, which kind of annoys me.
Mm.
Tormund was one of my favourite characters just because I like the character. I think they'll use him how he's used in the books. He'll go and find the remaining wildings, but John will just send him and trust him. Oh, more like Val. I think he'll kind of take the role of Val, the Wilding Princess, whereas John will send him on his way, trusting that he'll come back. But it's a little bit disappointing we didn't see that character, because she's important to John.
Well, we're talking about mopping up so that there can't be any sort of continuity problems with where you want it to go after that. There's only so much they can do.
I think this is a good point for them to go in their own direction, though, where they're at.
Because it can't handle... The show could probably only handle so many scenes. Like, what do you call it? Staging areas.
Yeah.
I guess the word is.
Game of Thrones is a humongous thing to try and do on screen as well.
Yeah.
You got a topic you want to talk
about? Yeah, so I went through a couple of pieces of nostalgia this week.
Yes.
So whether or not we've mentioned it in the intro or not, I'm a second-hand dealer, and the sideline is all the retro goodies.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been chasing just to have, because there's a few things that are out there that are worth having in your store just to point at.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're not big sellers.
Yep.
And they're not fast sellers. They can be expensive. Things like Avectrex.
Yep.
Things like, what's another example? To me, like the old Amiga 500 I'm still chasing. The old 2Es.
Mm-hmm.
And a Channel F. I don't know if they're ever released in Australia. I've got to check that.
Okay.
This week, I got a phone call. My nana had found Avectrex.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what this thing is? Yes. Is it any good? Yes.
Yeah.
Such and such, he saw me with it, and I told him he could have it. He wanted, no. So you want it? Yes. I'll bring it in tomorrow. Fantastic. And it turned up, plugged it in, and it does not work.
Oh, damn it.
So that's, you know, and I've been trying to get one for a while. There is a guy locally that has one that was going to bring it in, but he doesn't have a controller. This one does have a controller, so I'm not giving up. Maybe if I can track him down again.
Yeah.
I can make this thing work, yeah. I just want to plug the damn thing on in and see it go and stick it there on the shelf and probably never be able to bring myself to sell it, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Or be able to find a buyer, because the damn... Like, I noticed there was one on eBay, a guy tried endlessly to sell it for $400 or $500.
Oh, yeah.
Sat there. I don't know if he ended up how he did.
I love watching stuff like that on eBay sometimes.
I'm in favour. Sometimes if I'm not sure what I give for something...
Yeah.
I'll whack a big number on it, something on the upper end of what you can get for it.
Yep.
So I think that I don't know what I'm going to get for something. It's probably somewhere less than $200.
Yeah.
I'll whack the $200 and make offer on there.
Yep.
Just to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what feedback I get, what offers I get, I'll use that to then maybe put a proper price on it.
Oh, and yeah,
proceed
yeah.
from there.
Yep.
It depends how motivated you are to sell things. So a lot of those prices, if they got make offer there,
yep.
The guy's just trying to get the most he can.
Yep.
And he's just not sure how to price it.
You never know, like, you might find that one person that's been desperate to find that certain thing for ages anyway and just go, hell yeah, I'll give you $200 for it.
Right. Yeah. Remember there was, in the app store, there was some silly app that cost $2,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was a nothing thing, and it was just that, say you bought it, was like the description. be the exclusive. People did buy the damn thing.
Oh, jeez. I heard of a TomTom app for $90.
Mm.
It's like, geez, it'd want to be a pretty bloody good app to shell out $90 on a friggin' thing.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll see ridiculous prices on eBay because they're out.
Yeah.
So rather than take the listing down, instead of $5, it becomes $2,000. So nobody will buy it. And they'll readjust the quantity when they got more in stock.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason. But
that kind of happened with the GameCube adapter that came bundled with Smash Bros. Because a bunch of people bought a heap of them in the US and then they stuck them on eBay for twice the price. And then Nintendo issued more of them and they're all going, oh, shit.
Yeah, see, the reselling of the GameCube adapters sort of falls into that area of... I don't necessarily have a problem with other people doing that, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's borderline scalping.
Yeah. And the same thing with the Majora's Mask new 3DS that's coming out. That Best Buy in the US said, one per customer, even if you've already pre-ordered five of them. Like, screw you. You're going to sell them off and try and make a bundle on them. So
after the fact, they cancel pre-orders or reserve the right to do so.
Yeah, which I think that was a cool thing to do because you got to stop some of these people just gouging.
I can't really articulate the way I view it.
Yeah. Properly
because there are, like, I'm a reseller.
Yep.
And I make absolutely no bones about it. But a lot of what I do is, like, when I sell a Super Nintendo game on eBay, I don't sell it to some guy in Parramatta. I sell it to some guy in WA up in North Queensland. They just can't get it.
Yeah.
And there's not that, and it's that market's in such a state that there's not that much of a markup.
Yeah.
If there is a markup, it's usually just postage costs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and there's been sort of a plateau on those values anyway. So I think.
What's your average Super Nintendo game sort of going for?
I priced a few, yes, like we're talking 20 to 30 bucks.
Yeah. Currently. Yeah.
I feel like there's been a price dip in boxed.
Oh, yeah.
SNES games.
Yep. I think it's pretty rare to see a boxed SNES game in really good condition these days.
I've only had the one you sold me.
Yeah, yeah.
When it was Empire,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I've seen advertised Super Star Wars and I think Return for around the $40 mark.
Oh, yeah.
With a box. I don't know if it has the insert.
Actually, my mate had a few boxed. That's where I got that Empire from.
Fucking hard games, by the way.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, yeah. I did test it before I bought it up to you, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I've only played it a couple of times. It's sitting at home on my shelf.
Yeah.
I've kept it. Yeah. So there's not, you know, $1 million. There are, I don't know of any crazy valuable. Like Mario Kart's still a $50 game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Christmas
time. Rightfully so.
It's fantastic. Yeah. But, yeah, we're not talking massive dollars.
Yeah.
But wheeling back, where did we start there? The things I'm trying to get. So, like, I almost got, you know, one of the goals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I've been, you know, I'm going to travel more. I'm going to try and find these things this year. That's...
Oh, yeah, nice.
That's the goal. I'm going to go to more auctions. I'm going to get in contact with more people and try and make it happen.
Yep.
Because if I don't have anything new in the store...
Yeah.
People stop checking with me.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the Vectrex working, didn't have any overlays, because I'm pretty sure how that works.
Yep.
I still would have taken $250 for the Boston. Yep. Even though I know that people have done a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I even at that price, I think it would have taken me 6 months to sell it on
average. Oh, yeah. Yep.
There's not... Prior to the NES, and you think, like, even before the NES... Even the NES itself.
Yep.
I had a good box one. It took me a long time to sell it. That's anything there and back.
I'd come in every week and look at it too.
Yeah. But that's not high traffic because those guys, we've moved on to, I feel like there's not the big market for that time period.
Yeah.
80s is getting that sort of that late 80s to early 90s is I think where the high traffic is.
Yep.
And when I say high traffic, I mean like a high rate of sale.
Yeah.
What people are the most excited about. Yep.
I'm more excited about Super Nintendo because I didn't really play NES at all as a kid.
Yeah.
And Super Nintendo was a hell of a step up, I think. Because, you know, most of those NES games you kind of can't trigger out the point half of the time.
Yeah, oh, there's some great games.
Yeah, like I had a go of the NES Metroid last night,
because
that's on the Zero Mission cart.
Yep.
You can actually play the original one once you finish, I think it's once you finish the game, either that or it's hidden away in options, but you can have a go of the original game, and like, it's so much different to its upgraded version, it's crazy. But I'll go into that a bit more.
Super Nintendo's about that point in time where you picked up a console and you went, holy shit, this is playable.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you played Mario Kart or you played, what have I, like I've got All-Stars up the front.
Yep.
You played the revamped versions of Mario and you felt like, hey, I'm doing something here. This is great. Yeah, you're really into it and you're getting that sort of one-to-one button press to character movement sort of action going on.
Speaking of the All-Stars kart, my friend and I, friend in the US and I like watching The Completionist. Have you ever watched him on YouTube at all? He'll play a game and he'll 100% complete it completely and then review it after he's done that. So there's lots and bits and pieces there that he's played over the years. It's pretty cool. But a running joke is that he still hasn't finished the All-Stars pack.
Yeah.
He's finished a couple of the games on there and it's just a running joke now, just like Bears. They did a Banjo-Kazooie review and now there's a running joke of just the other guy on the show just shouting bears all the time.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But my friend challenged me to finish the All-Stars cut, so I'm going to be working on that over the next year or so, I think.
Good luck. And
yeah.
The first
game, 100% it.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of the games.
Even, like, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Even though everything looks great, everything looks better, it's better control, and it should be a more pleasant experience, but
yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that, though, because I think there's two types of gamers. The completionists. There are completionists and there are restarters. So, like, I've got a couple of friends who enjoy starting games more than they do completing it. They'll restart over and over again, enjoying that first bit, whereas I'll sit there with one save file and I'll complete it 100%.
Well, we're there before save files, so.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. But there
was no memory cards.
That's probably where it stems from.
You had to get your 40 cents in before the timer went to zero.
That's it, though. That's probably where it stems from. These guys have grown up playing NES or something, and they just like doing it all at once, I suppose.
Well, there were codes to leverage up. And there were portals, like in Super Mario Bros.
There's
a couple of, I think, level jumping portals. And
yeah. Yeah.
And things like that.
They're still present in the game now, even though there's a good saving system in there. Like, even the newest Mario for Wii U still got, like, the... Well, I can't say that from knowledge, but Super Mario Bros. New for DS, like, there's still level warps there and stuff like that. So, even though there's a save system, that's completely fine.
Oh, I think there's going to be some callbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's probably a technical reason as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's always...
Even if it's just a habitual one for the programmer. But I think you're probably right about the two types when you're looking at that sort of era.
Yeah.
But now you go further, I think...
Well, I mean, even these days, like, one friend of mine, I've started Skyrim 3 times, right? My original run when I first got the game.
Just couldn't get those friggin' eyebrows right, could you?
You should... Actually, a mate of mine did the most impressive job of recreating himself in the Elder Scrolls Online. It's just crazy. He must have spent hours doing it. But anyway, this other friend... I've started it 3 times, right? I started my original run, a second run, which I lost because my computer died, and then this most recent playthrough, which is what I'm still sort of working on if I pick the game up, right?
Mm.
But I got a friend who keeps a log of all the characters he started. He likes to put it in a little book, but he started something like 11 different characters just because he likes to restart the game.
That's a hard game to complete. I don't think I could face the task.
The completionist did it too.
Yeah. Well, so what hour mark are we talking about, do you think?
Oh,
for somebody that has completed,
he spent 100%. Hundreds of hours in it. Like,
started it, but
400 rings a bell. Yeah. For a full completion,
I'm surprised of the game. That it's, you know, that low.
Yeah.
There's a lot of side quests in there.
Oh, shitloads. Mm. Like, you can pretty much play it differently every time you start it.
Yeah, it hovers in that sort of area of...
Yeah.
Like, you could get lost in that
game. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bit, I think, and... Yeah.
I've been lost wandering around the map for ages and run into a troll and
just
had everything.
I got it in my head that
just...
I had to climb the freaking mountain to get over to the other side once. And I was, what am I doing?
Yeah, it's best to go around.
Yeah, it really is, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
I was doing something wrong. Anyway, I only pumped 20 hours into something into that game.
Oh, really? I've spent like 200 or 300?
Yeah. I lost my place and I don't have it in me to restart.
Oh, yeah.
So I just... And now I'm...
Well, you're like me. You're the completionist.
Well, maybe, but I think it's more of, where am I up to? Who is this guy?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Are these the good guys, the bad guys? Am I with them? Or no, I just... Where do I fit in?
Yeah, that's
true. Why are these horns on my head? I lose track of it all.
I think the horns are Fable.
Fable did horrible things. Yeah. I have many wives still waiting for me to come home in that game. Big piles of wood that I've chopped.
Here we are. I've just looked up on my Steam app. I've got 395 hours in Skyrim.
Yeah.
That's a bit crazy, actually.
I think I'm over 200 on Civ and that's about the only thing I've ever played that much.
Actually, Terraria, I clocked 158 hours so far, and that was over the course of about 2 weeks. Mm. I just went nuts with a couple of friends in a multiplayer world, and that's about to be updated, actually. I really love that game. I'm a big Minecraft fan as well, and people compare Terraria and Minecraft, but Terraria is a 2D side-scrolling Minecraft where there's shitloads more content.
Mm.
And Minecraft really should take a lesson from Terraria and just put a shitload more stuff in their game.
I think the beauty of... And I'm not a big Minecraft player.
Yeah.
I think the beauty of what they did was they just gave the player the building blocks to do what the hell they wanted.
I mean...
I think that minimalist approach is probably what works.
Yeah.
And you probably... Which was released later?
Terraria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might find that Minecraft provoked, in a way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh, no doubt. It's like... There's a bit more of a... There are more bosses and stuff in Terraria, which... And you kind of... You are pushed to kind of be ready for them as well, because there's an eye... The Eye of Cthulhu is the first boss, right? And that you can either...
You mean like the Lovecraft?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Except it's just his eye. And it's got tentacles and mouth and stuff like that. That will come by itself, and you've got to be ready, or you can craft something and summon the thing. Mm. If you're not ready for it, though, it can, you know, screw you over pretty quickly. If you get a chance, play that game. It's fun.
Yeah. I have the PC here at the store, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of gaming going on at the store. I bought that cocktail cabinet 2 weeks ago, and I haven't played yet.
Oh, okay.
Just had a bit too much on.
Yeah.
That's the next thing, like, if I dig it. And I've had sinking Mario Kart Wii you hooked up.
Yep.
For more than that.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been desperate to play for so long, and I've only played two races.
Yeah.
So I've spent a bit of time for lately.
I reckon you should set it up to play, like, beat your record on a track. You know how you had the Mario Chase a few months back where highest score in Mario?
Yeah, I gave out a voucher to the highest score on Mario, yeah.
You ever thought about doing that for Mario Kart?
I thought about for Mario Kart 64 having a tourney.
Yep.
I don't have the interest quite yet.
Oh, yeah.
For it, and I kind of... Probably let it hang out a bit if I did it and put a projector in.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I have a projector, actually. Maybe I could make it happen. I did buy a projector. I forgot that I bought that. Oh, yeah. I have to get into that story because there's things I bought that I've forgotten about. It's starting to think about. But, yeah, maybe I will do that. I think, a tournament to get more people in at once. The Mario had a guy drift in every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And it sort of didn't create any buzz. But, yeah, that's a good idea. You're right.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous. Like, Mario Kart for the Wii U is beautiful.
Yeah, it looks so good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The DLC, I got one of the packs so far. The next one's out in March or something, I think.
Yeah.
But every bloody person plays as Link.
Yeah?
It's like, yeah.
I can't. I would never give up Yoshi, personally.
Oh, yeah.
For anybody.
I usually like to play as... I go between Luigi and a couple of other characters.
Donkey Kong's my backup.
Oh, yeah.
If someone beats me.
You seen that Luigi death stare?
Yes, I have.
How good is that?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's really great. That, like, even made the news and stuff.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah. While we're still on games, I've been wanting to learn how to do speedrunning for a little while.
Yep.
And my game of choice is definitely Metroid because I was huge.
It's a popular choice for that, isn't it?
I think reasonably so. There's usually a run at Games Done Quick, which has just gone. They did Super Metroid this year. And in Summer Games Done Quick last year, they did Fusion and Super Metroid, I think. Fusion's my favourite in the series, but I've been playing around with Zero Mission lately, which is a remake of the first Metroid. And first time I tried doing a speedrun of it, I clocked 2 hours 40, which I thought, oh, that's a decent time. One of the things is getting it under 3 hours, which you get a
a different cutscene at the end where, you know, you reveal that Samus is actually a woman, because you'd never be able to tell unless you, well, there is a whole sequence in Zero Mission, but it's a new sequence that they added on just to give the Game Boy Advance version a bit more length to it. Because you can finish nearly all of them in under 3 hours.
Yeah.
Easily. But your first sort of playthrough is a sort of around 10 hours, I reckon, just sort of searching everywhere and finding things. But you can get them done so quickly. The world record for Zero Mission is half an hour.
Right. Yeah.
And my second attempt last night, I got down to 1:40, and I'm just like, wow, I've got to knock an hour off my time. I thought the 1:40 was a pretty good run.
Yeah. You find, like, in things like that, your first big jumps, your first, you have a big bit of progress, and now you yeah. get there in mills. Yeah. You know?
But this is me just sort of thinking about things after I played it through a couple of times. Yeah. There are so many hidden bits and pieces in that game. Like, you can skip a whole boss, a whole segment of Zero Mission, which I did last night and didn't even realize I could skip it. Because you don't need what you get as a reward from it. And you can just skip on to the next boss. And
I always, like, when playing games as a kid, I always viewed the further you got as the achievement.
Yeah.
Regardless of how yeah. many rings you picked up, for example. Yep. But
I think, like, if you want to be sort of a more serious gamer these days, I think speedrunning is really sort of the place to go. Like with Twitch and things like that, people watch you play a game if they enjoy your personality and stuff. But I mean, I guess you're
delivering a little bit more to the watcher.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm quite impressed with that world record run of Zero Mission. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was absolutely blown away by it. There's a dude, Cosmo, who runs Legend of Zelda Ocarina.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a glitched version, which takes like 18 minutes.
As using glitches, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Glitches with old man snitches, but I don't like glitches so much. I like seeing the game played out completely, but I mean, it's a legitimate record of finishing the game, so.
Yeah, well, it's using the original card, it has
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I think if it has to stand unless you mod the card in some way.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Someone beat Cosmo recently, it's down to like a couple of milliseconds.
Yeah.
Which I'd be pretty pissed
off.
Have
you ever watched The King of Kong?
No, I haven't. I meant
to. You really should.
Yeah.
So The King of Kong, for those who came in late, is a documentary about
Billy Mitchell, isn't it?
Billy Mitchell is in it, and it's about the world record for Donkey Kong.
Yep.
For the old arcade cabinet.
Yep.
And the world records were kept at an arcade called Twin Galaxies in the US.
Yep.
It promoted itself as the keeper of world records and the adjudicator of what is and what isn't a record.
I think it's sort of more speed demos archives now on online.
I think Twin Galaxy still exists.
Yeah, yeah.
But the drama of the doco is that the guy's name escapes me, but the guy beats the world record.
Oh, yeah.
Sends in the videotape, like he recorded himself playing on a cabinet in his garage, and it's basically negged by Twin Galaxies, and the idea is that Billy's the villain of the piece. And,
yep.
And he's unable to defend his title, and the legitimacy of his record ends up questioned, and it seems to really weigh on, you know, everybody concerned.
Yep.
It's a really great documentary. You should watch it. I think it's Universal. It doesn't, if you don't.
I have meant to watch it for years. Mm. I saw it advertised on ABC2 like a couple of years ago, and I meant to watch it since, but
I love it. There's a fair bit of drama. It's and so I might go watch it again. It's not just a drama. You just sort of see how people are attached to, you know, like the guy needed something in his life, so he tried to crack the Donkey Kong world record.
Oh yeah,
and it meant a lot to him. And when he had that taken away from him,
yep,
he crushed the guy, and he went around trying to defend himself and defend his name.
Yeah.
And like I said, Billy Mitchell's set up as the villain, so you've got that sort of drama, but you've also got all the nostalgia, which would probably escape you, but it doesn't escape me, of Donkey Kong, of seeing it in the cabinet, of what the feeling of what an 80s arcade would look like to a kid. Did you recapture that?
I love old arcades. Like, if there's any, if I ever just came across a shitload of money, I'd set up a fucking huge arcade in Hobart.
But I guess what I mean is you get the separation of you as a kid, from where the games are, and each turn cost money, 40 cents or whatever, and so it was becomes like an ambition. Especially out here, like I lived out here in Peak Hill. It was an ambition to get to Sydney or get to somewhere where there would be an arcade, have my eyes bug out, put my money in, and hopefully last longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
There's probably some sort of metaphor in there, but so it wasn't as accessible. In the 80s. So then and computers weren't a popular thing. I remember the first time we had a 2E at home for a couple of months. It was, I mean, you could play games on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, your parents told you they were serious things. They weren't gaming devices. Yeah. So it wasn't until, like, I think my first console was a Mega Drive. Some guys had an NES.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they had that heightened level of excitement because you didn't often get to the arcade.
Yeah.
We had a room up behind the takeaway shop full of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we weren't meant to be there. and yeah, it was an awesome thing, and it was really fascinating. And you never, and the feeling also of never having enough time, to play as much as you wanted. And so it sort of, it really sort of, when you see like a guy in my age group and older bug out about an arcade, that's where it's all coming from.
I mean, in the 10 years between you and me, I think I definitely didn't see any cool arcades like that. The best one we had in Hobart was just Intensity, which is pretty small in comparison.
I went to the Intensity in somewhere in Sydney when that came out.
Yeah.
Because I think there's about three of them, wasn't there?
I'm not sure about Sydney, But
I mean total.
Oh, okay.
I think Intensity was one of the first places to have the VR stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean the one in Hobart's probably about the size of your shop and what's out the back. Maybe just a slightly, little bit more, but there's not much there. There's like two pinball machines, a handful of racing sims, and then the rest are all ticket machines and shooters, pretty much.
Yeah, like I went to Time Zone on the Gold Coast not that long ago. Yeah, it's about the same thing. And until, and it's not the new, I can't find new games that excite me.
Yeah.
I think the last game that I really wish I could take home was probably Time Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
93.
Yep.
And so if I bump into that or something that I used to love, I'd be like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yep.
But if I was wandering up and down, new games, new arcade ports, it's probably not the same, I guess. And it's a lot of tick. We end up on the tick machines.
Yeah.
Just so we can play together.
You know? I've got something like 2,000 tickets worth for Intensity in Hobart just because we go there and sink $20 each into a bloody ticket machine.
Yeah.
Well, more like 50 last time around, but like we were pulling tickets for Nintendo Monopoly, and then one of our friends ruined it by just buying it on eBay. But and the chase wasn't, it just ruined everything, and we're kind of disappointed about it.
It is, the ratio is a bit silly, isn't it?
Oh, it was stupid. Like it cost him $50 on eBay, and we'd sunk like 150 between us into tickets.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever done in an arcade. I don't know why we did this, but my wife and I went to, can't even remember what arcade it is, but we were down in Central Sydney.
Yeah.
And we played Deal or No Deal.
Oh, I've played that in Hobart. Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing playing that game? What is the point? We had fun though. It worked.
It is fun. I do get a bit wound up with Deal or No Deal though, and I got a bit sweary with the lady because she gave me one ticket or something, and I sunk a couple of dollars into it.
But now, by lady, you mean the lady on the screen.
Yeah, not the lady on the screen. The
counter. You weren't shorted any tickets. No. You were duped by the game.
I felt cheated because, that 200 tickets were sitting there, and it was like, yes, I'm so close. I bet it's 200 tickets or no tickets every time. It's just 50-50 in the end.
Oh, who knows? It's really sore. So, I'm very proud of you. You read a new book this week.
I did.
A book that was not Game of Thrones. Have you read more than one book?
Well, I nearly finished the second one, but I started started The Name of the Wind last week.
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty good so far.
Do you want to talk about? Recommend?
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
You finished The Name of the Wind and you're into Wise Man's Fear.
Yep.
Consumed anything else? You finished Civil War as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I read Civil War a week ago as well.
Was it anticlimactic?
No, not really.
Because you'd read around that a lot, hadn't you? Read about it. And...
Yeah, I read about it, and the real tipping point was Captain America 3 being based on Civil War.
Yeah.
I think they should have probably... I mean,
you can see why it's a damn shame that we can't have Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, he's only really a big part of the first couple of issues, though.
Yeah.
And sort of the end where he changes sides, but I mean, I probably would have rather that they kept that for an Avengers film, but doing Ultron is kind of stepping it up a fair bit. I kind of wish they'd done Civil War and then Ultron for the third one and kept Infinity Wars for later down the track.
But if you're wheeling around to having the Inhumans be the new mutants, you've got to have Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
I think. And the Inhumans are just such a great bridge between Marvel Cosmic and...
Oh, yeah. I haven't got around to the Inhumans yet, though. The only thing I've really seen is the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where they sort of start to go in that direction.
Don't tell me that. What I would... There is, I can't remember who wrote it, but there was beautiful art done by Jay Lee.
Yep.
Marvel Knights series, I think, called The Inhumans, and that's where I would start.
Oh, yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's a great story. Characters are really fantastic.
Yeah.
Sort of, and you know the origin, obviously, Inhumans were the product of, you know, genetic tampering by the Kree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's, I think, how you sort of attack it. Like, they're not ground-level heroes or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, attack it as, you know, genetic manipulation, trying to create, but not create a tool, not create a weapon, create a superior being.
Oh, yeah.
Almost somebody to lead us.
I think, you know what? Part of it. I think they may go that way about Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel. Because that sort of feels like... they might make her into an Inhuman.
Well, she's those. I think those powers come from the Kree.
They do come from the Kree, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Captain Marvel's before Inhumans. I think we got, or maybe it's between Infinity War Part 1 and 2. I think we got Infinity War Part 1, Captain Marvel, Inhumans, Infinity War Part 2. Yeah, that's the right order. I just had a look then. But one thing I really am a bit disappointed they haven't set up in the cinematic universe as Namor. I think
We've got a lot.
We do, yeah.
We got an embarrassment of riches at this point. I think we sort of need to get around to the idea we can't have everything.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'd kind of like to see a few minor sort of heroes cameo at least in Civil War.
For example.
You know, anybody really, just because the cast is huge. I mean, everybody's there. You got,
I think with Civil War, you got to be careful because there's a lot of ancillary shit to that.
Yeah,
and I mean, there was wasn't there Young Avengers Runaways?
There was, yeah.
You can't include that.
The Hulkling was a big part of that. He's shape-shifting in the end or something like that.
Well, he is a shape-shifter.
You know, She-Hulk was there. You got the Fantastic Four. Miss Marvel was around. The Punisher made an appearance.
But I'm only sort of the fact that as many characters as you like, as many characters I like, there's a shit ton of characters and they just can't put them all in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if they drop everybody in Civil War, like, they're probably not going to be able to keep the central cast in Civil War.
Yeah. I mean,
not bog that movie down.
Yeah. I mean, have you... You're really going to have to use Black Widow and Hawkeye there. And I think you're really going to have to use Falcon as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think... I mean, they'll make
Falcon,
it work.
And I'll tell you what, and I really think that this is true.
Yeah.
I think the best thing about Falcon and this is from the point of view of the comic books, is that Falcon makes Captain America for the reader because we see what he sees when he sees Cap.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of real hero worship to the way Falcon feels about Cap.
I'll be really, really disappointed if we don't see Falcon in some way in Age of Ultron, because, I mean, that dude, I really enjoyed him as Falcon in Cap 2.
Yeah.
I thought he played the role really well, and it would be a disappointment not to see him there.
Yeah. Because this is a guy that, you know, works with his ideal, what he thinks a leader should be in every way. So he's working with his hero and he's not one bit disappointed.
Yeah.
And that viewpoint can really create Cap. Like, if you're like me and you're sort of not a big Stars and Stripes sort of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing wrong with it, but I can't feel the patriotic thing being an Australian that an American would feel for Cap. You look at him through Falcon's eyes and it works for him. You get it.
You know why all those Cap films have the subtitle? So they can market them in different countries. Because, like, you try and market Captain America in a, you know, Iraq or something, and they're just like, fuck America.
I don't think what you call Cap. Yeah. When you send it to Iraq, mate, unless you're showing it at the military base, that thing's probably going to be a flop.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's going
to
work.
They specifically, well, if you're sending Captain America to an Arabic country or something like that, then they're going to be like, oh, fuck him. Yeah. Fuck America. And like, even my brother won't give Captain America a go because he thinks it's all Stars and Stripes and all America.
And at times it is. And if you look back at, you know, the beauty of comic books, and I've said this a million times, is you get to a very large amount of writers, large amount of artists get to put their take on something because these characters have existed for so long.
Yeah.
So there is that Stars and Stripes sort of aspect to Cap in the way he's written, and there's some really great takes as well.
Yeah.
There's some really embarrassing shit drawn by Liefeld, for Christ's sake. You've probably seen, like, the, you know, big boobies Cap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, but then there's some really great stuff, like Civil War, like the post-9/11 stuff that was written. That's classic.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a lot of really good things, but the thing is, what you said was, did you say your mate or your brother?
My brother.
Yeah, what your brother's afraid of is there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's there. So don't, like, there's a million Hulk stories I don't like, but damn it, Planet Hulk is awesome.
Yeah. I think that would be, I mean, they want to give Mark Ruffalo more screen time than Hulk, which I think they're getting kind of wrong. You want Hulk, not Bruce Banner.
I think Ruffalo Banner works fine.
Yeah, Ruffalo's great. I really enjoyed him as Bruce Banner, but I mean, Planet Hulk's all Hulk, isn't it? Not really.
100% Hulk. In a really great way, and a really fleshed out Hulk can exist within that story.
The way they handled Hulk and Banner in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon, they sort of had them talking to each other, like, within their own mind.
And that's been done quite a bit. Yeah.
I think that would work on screen, you know, as well.
Do you?
I think it's the way you can give Ruffalo the screen time that they want to give him.
Maybe. I think what that sort of thing would, or that approach does, is it lets you separate the two and recognise that they are they're different energies. Yeah. But I think the way that, I bumped that again, excuse me, the way Ruffalo plays it, his understated sort of performance, it already achieves that. I think it might be redundant to have something like that. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah,
and it can be something might be a little bit distract.
I'd kind of like to see.
You just hear the voice. Is that what you mean?
No, no.
You mean like the Battlestar sort of way of the character appears, but nobody else can see them. And
like they're in a big empty space.
Yeah,
and it's just the two of them speaking to each other.
Mm.
Which is kind of how they'd handle it in Earth's Mightiest Heroes. So they'd sort of phase out. It'd be just a bit fuzzy what's going on in the background, and they're just sort of talking to each other.
I would point out that there's not a lot of good ways to do the Hulk.
I suppose,
And if you got something that's working, I wouldn't fuck with that too much.
Because
I've been pretty dubious in the past. Like, the first, I enjoyed Hulk.
Yeah.
And I liked Incredible Hulk, but was it really working? Was it seamless?
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
It wasn't.
I don't. Yeah, it's it's a little bit harder to do, isn't it? Like, I think they're going about it a little bit wrong by giving him more screen time in the Avengers, just because they're not doing a solo hot film.
Avenger,
yeah. Yeah, but that's why he should have his own film, or a sequel at least.
When people talk about there being a Planet Hulk film, I sort of visually I expect something similar to John Carter.
Yeah. Do you think that you could chuck the Guardians in there?
In the Planet Hulk? No.
Don't reckon?
Absolutely not.
If they were, I only roughly know the story, but if they, I understand that Hulk's fighting in an arena for the most of it.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. Yeah.
But do you think the Guardians would work in there if they were captured?
I think more Spartacus and less Hunger Games.
So okay.
I think you got probably just got to sit down and read this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, so what essentially is going on is that the Illuminati, I can't remember the exact mechanics of it,
yeah, but
Hulk is put on a ship and sent far, far away.
Oh, yeah.
And because he was too much of a danger to
yeah.
the people of Earth, and I think Stark was, Stark and Reed Richards were the
yep.
the main people behind that little trick.
That is the rumor for the end of Age of Ultron, though, that he is sent away.
I've seen that also. Yeah. He ends up a slave on this other planet, and eventually, you know, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but
yeah,
becomes king.
Okay.
There's a little bit of inner mythology from that world introduced into
yep.
it. There's a really good supporting cast of characters.
Oh, yeah.
A love interest.
Yep.
Which is important to how that movie ends.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I will not spoil because it's fantastic.
I know that, yeah.
And a really clear enemy. There is a cameo from Silver Surfer.
Oh, yeah.
In the animated version, it's Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was a direct swap.
Yeah. I do like Beta Ray Bill. I kind of wish they'd do him in a Thor film, but I don't think it would really work unless they sort of set it up as a little bit at the start.
Well, I think
the way they're going with Ragnarok and stuff.
Well, Thor's dead in Civil War.
Okay.
So are we going to have a dead
Thor?
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. There is. Yeah. I mean,
because of the clone. The clone's such a big deal in that storyline and how.
That's right. Because I suppose he could fall in Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
and sort of come back for Ragnarok, I suppose. But Beta Ray Bill could probably fit in Ragnarok if it's Surtr, isn't it?
I'm not.
Yeah, I think so. With Beta Ray Bill yeah. Anyway, yeah. They did a really good take in Earth's Mightiest Heroes on it as well. Mm. It could work.
But don't forget, I think that's my big subject, like the point of my curiosity about that film.
Yeah.
Is, are we going to lose Thor?
Yeah.
To have that part of that storyline? Because
that's
a really big deal. And because you got the beautiful aftermath of Civil War where
yep.
Thor, very unhappy with Tony Stark, wipes the floor with him.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've seen screenshots or read that book.
No.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Because you just, even if you like Tony Stark, you do want to see him get knocked around a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Brought back to Earth.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about X-Men casting
recently? Yeah, I don't think there's a lot there at this stage. It's interesting that such a well-known actress got the role of Jean Grey.
Yeah. I think she'll play it decent enough, Jean Grey.
Yeah, depends how you go with it.
Yeah, the other two I'm not entirely familiar with it all, though. Have you heard of either of them?
No.
No, yeah. I think sort of the Jean Grey casting was more big news than either of the other two.
Like, we don't know a lot about the storyline, and there's a million different movies can be made from source material about Apocalypse.
Do you think that they're going to do a new continuity after Apocalypse?
Well, it is a new continuity by definition because they write at the timeline at the end of Days of Future Past, didn't they?
The X-Men timeline in the films has got so fucked up, I think.
I think it's fine now.
Yeah.
All that's happened is they've messed with it and now there's a new...
Yeah.
There's an unknown now. They recreate an unknown. Not an empty, like not a clean slate, but you've got someone to work somewhere.
Yeah.
they can they've left themselves room to redo what's been done before.
Yeah.
If they should want, or reuse the characters. Cyclops is alive. You know, Jean Grey is alive. That's great, and we can have some great stories again.
Yeah.
If we just get rid of Wolverine, put him in a box.
I think that's issues, it's probably about time, isn't it? There's been a bit too much Wolverine.
You just need to weigh it a little differently, I think.
Yeah. This Gambit solo film sort of comes a bit out of left field, doesn't it?
Well, I don't want Gambit to be the new problem either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I quite liked Gambit in the animated series, but I haven't really read any X-Men at all, so... I mean, that's my only real...
It's a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Changing sides.
Oh, yeah.
I guess... whether or not there'll be a Cable. I don't know if there's any rumors of Cable appearing. But their sort of history is completely intertwined, Apocalypse and Cable.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because Cable's Scott's son.
Yep.
Obviously makes that little... Actually, Scott's son with a clone of Jean Grey.
Yeah, so yeah. Madeline Pryor, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So it could get kind of complicated. I wonder what they're going to do with it, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be good to see. I don't think you need to have the Madeline Pryor shit. I don't think any of that nearly needs to happen. And we've got enough timeline jumping that you can fit Cable in and
weed
the audience out too much. And he's such an awesome character that'd be great to see.
Did you see the Fantastic Four trailer?
I haven't. I switched off. I thought we were all switching off. I thought when Doom was a blogger, we were done. Yeah. Now, why is anybody watching this trailer?
I watched the trailer.
I thought we all got together and decided we'd had enough. And we were not going to watch trailers. We were not going to pay attention.
Oh, no. I was always going to watch the trailer. I had written it off already by that stage, but now it's
Explain
official.
Explain to me the
it's
logic of watching the trailer of a movie you've written off.
Just out of curiosity, how are they going to do little bits and pieces? And like... the young cast just looks shit.
You need to admit to me that you watched that trailer so you'd have something to complain about.
I always watch shit to complain about it. Come on. You've known me for a year now. I did, yeah. Yeah, I did a little bit.
What did you see?
Not much, really. Yeah. Like,
anytime somebody says we're going to have a comic book movie grounded in reality,
yeah.
I want to run. Because if reality was awesome, we would not need the freaking
movies. You
can do
that with some things. You can do that with Batman, I think, but not many other ones. I mean, unless you're a superhero without powers.
I
can't really do it. I mean, I felt kind of like this trailer is a bit pretentious. Like,
I think that attitude's a bit pretentious.
Yeah.
If you want to make your movie that way, cool. But I just You don't need the Fantastic Four. You don't need that property to do that movie.
No, I mean, geez, if only Marvel Studios had it, they'd do it right. I mean, they've done most other
Maybe
things
they
right.
wouldn't. I don't care if it gets screwed up, but just give it a proper go.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of feels like the 90s movie all over again. They're just making one for the sake of making it so they don't have to...
And lose their rights.
Yeah. Give their rights back. I mean, these companies could just work together for once and actually make it.
I don't think they even have to do that.
I'm kind of disappointed that the Marvel Studio Universe doesn't have the Fantastic Four in it.
Oh, of course. But that's because they're doing so well at the moment. Is it Fox that owns?
Fox, yeah.
If Fox were banging them out left and right, we'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
Then we just want to see a good movie.
I think it's Fox that kind of does a bit more of their own thing with some of these comic book films. I mean, Sony too, in a way. That second Spider-Man was a fucking piece of shit.
Oh, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It was terrible.
I liked the first one. I liked a lot.
The first one was great.
Yeah.
But then they just... they hit the... what they did with 3 again. They tried putting too many villains in there.
Mm.
They handled Rhino very, very well. Even though, I mean...
they gave us Ultimate Rhino, didn't they? Yeah.
Well, Spider-Man stops him at the start, and then you don't see him again until the end of the film when he gets out of prison. And he's fighting him again.
But I would point out the difference, like a really key difference between something like what I'm assuming is going on with Fantastic Four. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody, anybody.
Yep.
And like between those two things, because... there's
Like, it's like that. Why use the property and try to achieve separation between your movie and the comic book universe?
Oh yeah.
What's the point of banking on that name and then saying, "But hey, it's nothing like it."
Yeah.
It seems counterintuitive to me.
Stan Lee is one of the greatest storytellers alive, I would say.
Well, the greatest story might be that he actually created them too, because that might not be.
Yeah. Well, like
he was heavily involved in that, and I'm not denying it. But I've got this personal thing where we're not talking enough about Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Who is brilliant, let's face it.
And,
and a lot of other guys that are around back then.
Yeah, yeah.
I
mean, I suppose Stan's the one that's still going. He's, 92, I think, now?
I still like to watch Stan Lee do anything. I still like to hear him interview. Yeah. But I think you probably ignore the fact that Stanley's also very good at self-promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, I don't want us to get, there's so many great artists have been forgotten, and artists that were working at a time where they weren't properly recognised or even paid properly for their art, that maybe we need to celebrate that a little bit. I don't want us to leave the art behind.
Yep.
I really don't. And but on one hand, Marvel at the moment doing really great, borderline experimental things in all their books. So yeah. I guess they're not doing that.
The way they're going is interesting too. It looks like they're going to do a sort of a reboot.
FF?
Yeah, no, of the entire universe. Didn't you see that?
Like, no.
Everything's sort of coming together. They're going to have another civil war of sorts, I think, in the Ultimate Universe.
We're talking comics. You're talking about Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, so they're going to try. I don't know if they're going to collapse the Ultimate Universe into the 616.
Yeah.
But there's going to be Secret Wars, and Ultimate characters are going to end up there with those from the 616, and maybe even others. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting idea.
The rumor has been for a long time that the Ultimate Universe was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Ultimate Comics X-Men ended with, there was a big sort of universe, almost threatened to collapse the universe event that I didn't read the end of.
Oh,
I think they called it Cataclysm.
Yep.
I didn't want to deal with it if they finished the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, yeah. Do you think they're going to do, like DC didn't do, like a completely new continuity after the Secret Wars?
No.
Don't think so?
No. Okay. I think it didn't work, and I think they've outright said they're not going to do that.
Okay.
I did sort of miss those. I'm a little bit behind in my books, and I did miss those news.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't particularly excited about the idea of Secret Wars. I wish they could just... I wish Ultimate Universe would continue.
Yep.
I love Miles Morales.
Yeah,
I miss the old Ultimate X-Men.
Miles Morales is the only one that's going to continue.
Well, I'd say they'll transfer the character. He's running around with the all new X-Men now. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's happening.
That's another option that hopefully might happen with Civil War. Why can't they use Miles instead of Peter Parker?
Yeah, that could be done.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be a Miles movie.
Yeah, definitely.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Sony held the rights to Spider-Man.
Probably, yeah. They really should have brought him into The Amazing Spider-Man, I think. Because Andrew Garfield's contracted to a fourth film.
Mm.
And then, you know, if they introduce Miles in this third one, then I think it would work well if they get a third one, because that second one was such a piece of shit.
I think what Miles Morales sort of grabbed, and in a really... So with Ultimate Spider-Man, we had this great reboot. I think it was Bendis, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't remember. Michael
Bendis, old Spider-Man, and really gave new life to Spider-Man and sort of woke us up to the fact that the young guy, the young Peter Parker, the kid that was in high school, the science geek, that's who he really... Yeah, that was a really exciting, not necessarily what we loved and everything you loved about Spider-Man, but it was a really exciting time.
Yep.
It had a lot of really great themes that could be used up. And when that story maybe hadn't reached its end, maybe it hadn't, they gave this really great end to it.
Yep.
And then we got Miles Morales.
Yep.
And it gave us sort of a different perspective on that same type of story. So
the point of view is a great one. The excitement of it, and you got the family tension with Miles. You got the new, different sort of power subset, and how it works within that universe.
Yep.
And it, yeah, again, that really, really works well. I think if you were to start sliding Miles in alongside Peter, even though that's kind of happened in the Ultimate Universe lately, you get past that early stages of being Spider-Man, which is some of the great Miles stuff.
Yeah.
Which would be disappointing, I think.
Yep.
You'd hate to ignore that.
Yeah.
Or at least rob yourself of the opportunity to have it on screen.
Yeah. Should.
I think reboot with Miles, maybe even let Peter meet an untimely end as he does in the Ultimate Universe and start again with Miles.
I mean, they've got a goblin there now. I suppose that can kind of work.
Yeah, but and the goblin in Ultimate Universe is just almost Hulk-like in a way.
Yeah, the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, he's really massive and Hulk-like.
Borderline unkillable.
Yeah.
And don't forget, too, that Miles Morales exists in a post-peak of Peter Parker world.
Oh, yeah.
It's very... The death of Peter Parker really matters. And he sort of... And the way he's treated by other characters in that universe is really informed by Peter's death.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really heavy in a lot of ways.
I'm not sure of it. There's an Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon going on. Have you seen that?
I saw a little bit of it.
It's kind of... I stopped watching.
Spider-Man goes to high school with Iron Fist and
Iron Fist, and Nova. White Tiger, Power Man, and Nova. It's like it's something you might binge once, but they've really sort of made it for kids, not for all ages, and that kind of gets a bit makes it not that good to watch.
Like, it's no Young Justice, you're telling me.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a terrible cartoon. I think they've introduced Miles into that. I'm not sure, though. How? So I don't remember. I think I just read something on Wikipedia or something like that. I haven't seen it. Yeah. I haven't got that far. I haven't got past season 2 yet, so.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't too keen on the first couple of apps, so.
Yeah, I think I might binge it someday, but for now.
I still haven't I'll watched leave all it. Of. What was the Good Avengers cartoon?
Earth's Mightiest Heroes, yeah.
And the new. What's the new one called?
Avengers Assemble.
Didn't even get through the half of the first episode.
Neither did I. I watched the whole first episode, but no incentive at all to watch the rest.
No.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes really was good, and they just sort of, not continuing.
As somebody that was a hasn't crap watched idea. All of Batman the Animated Series yet, I've got other things I probably should be doing.
That's on the back burner too. Batman the Animated Series.
There's a really great mood to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've probably only watched 10 episodes. There's a lot to be watched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely worth watching.
I think that'll just about do that'll it for today, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this has been Too Tall for Stormtroopers. I was Sam.
And I'm Brendan. If you've made it this far, thank you.
Yeah. We'll hopefully see you next time. If we can get our shit together, this is take 3, by the way. Take 3, episode 1. Oh, well. I think we got something this time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
See ya.